play the Dingle Regatta first, then you know why. That you keep losing. The first poem I'm going to read you is in keeping with the theme of the night, the regatta. It's called Hookers. So in the west of Ireland, the traditional sailing boats are called hookers. The hookers sail round the headland, out of time, listing in unison, coal black, silent, like crotchets on a score. Round the headland, out of time, ploughing keels leave no groove, sea flowers take flight as turns. The men lean windward, silent, a song forming in their smoking thoughts. A boat builder's song, who chose the tree, cut the grain, planed, fastened, and tarred the planks, to sail the grey drench round the headland for 100 years. Song of buffeting sails, creaking wood, plunging bow, rounding Cangolan on a racing tide, carrying a cargo of time and storm songs over lichen-covered ballast, songs of turf runs over old waves. Rounding the headland into the harbour, the hookers sail out of time. Men leaning complacent to offset the list, drawing on pipes, gesturing easily, distant, silent as they near us for 100 years. The sun glints on a boot nail and sails fall limp. Black hookers moor, men fasten heavy ropes, step onto the quay. Caps and salty blue-grey tweed meet sunglasses and ice cream in Kinbarra. Well, that's a poem which describes something, you know. Now, I'm going to read you this poem out of the book Sul Seal, which is all in Irish. And sometimes I'm asked to translate the poetry, but it's very difficult, you know. And this poem's called "On Wo," which in English is the cow. It's a poem about a cow, and it's built on the the motif of the long vowel. So Irish is a language which has a series of short vowels and a series of long vowels. And I'm going to read you the long vowels in the poem now, and leave out all the rest first, okay? And the idea is that the cow is a stupid animal, really. But the inference at the end is maybe that the cow isn't the only stupid animal. So the sound pattern in the poem now, if you imagine a cow, if you close your eyes and think of a cow chewing, you know, very slowly, like, yeah? And you can see the big eyes, yeah? And the cow is chewing away and thinking of nothing. Okay, so here we go. E, O, O, A, O, E, E, W, O, O, A, E, E, O, U, I, O, 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 A, U, U, A, and so on. Then when you put the, so you have to think of the cow, right? When I'm reading the poem, and at the end, then where it says that the cow looks, stares out over the fence with its, and then there's an adjective which is very difficult to translate, with its factory-like eyes, with its factory-like eyes. So here we go. And wo, behiach canthiche sha and wo, rud bomalta di vil, kanglin chi and hir gobalov, shkehen bultrach, seal gun warach, ni hol chin gun wo, ni quivin leonoid, nachra clay, sitir, na cro, muhu un altacht, and a sham chri vado, a wo, war, wall, ni vintach u, Il gohuchus intach an dar, il gorlaur ekech, a yeim chrati, rud mediv maravanta, shin agri un wo, maren shi, gomonar chunda, a shir chor na su, har wole mach. Now, apart from the long vowels, there's actually a sort of an idea in the poem, really, which is to do with the domesticity. So the cow is a domestic animal, you see, and there are different types of animals. There are wild animals, it's behi alta in Irish, we have a special word for wild animals, alta, behi alta. And so the question is where the human animal, which category the human animal occupies, is man a domestic animal or a behi alta or leh alta, semi-domestic. Anyway, there's another poem about a cow. Now, honestly, this will be the last one. And I don't have a translation. Because if I did, the poem wouldn't be in Irish. And but this is easy, like, you know. So you know the Irish word for a cow. You know it by now, anyway. The bow. And this poem is called Yil Me Mo Wo. What does that mean?
I sold my cow.
Yil Me Mo Wo. So the idea in this poem is, when we were in primary school, we learned this lovely phrase called Ba Mo Na Tuche, which means rural depopulation. There was a very interesting map in the Irish Times there on Saturday which showed demographic shifts recently in Ireland. So it's some continuing depopulation of rural areas. So here it's symbolized by the sale of a cow and all the things that come to an end, like milking and the sound of the milk in the bucket and all the other things that are lost when agriculture comes to an end. So let me think what other words are in here. You know what shliv means? Shliv, a hill or a mountain. Let me think. But you know what shkibol is? It's probably in the place named shkibodin. It means a barn, yeah? Or what do you call it where a cow is a buyer, is it? And then, let me think now, what else is here? Well, here you have the word punt, but that's to do with money, of course. Now it's the euro, but this is punt, at least, which is different what punt means. Then we have aruch. What's aruch?
Spring,
yeah, and we have different. Do you know what bucket means anyway?
Bucket.
Now, and here we have the. Do you know what galach is? Galach. The moon. Okay. So there's a sort of an image in the poem where the barn is compared to the moon, and the moon is empty. But I'm going to read this without a translation now. But I think it's the only one in Irish I'd be reading tonight without a translation. Yil me mwo. Yil me mo wo in ye, tan shliv gan amum in the dia, tan yalach in the shkibol balmiche. Nil blam na bochalach se feel, nil anach kursi ir wo, nil gechlucht en deal of fucht in the bunt. Falkemen shliv friedrich, falkemen wicked, stan gan kjol, old hame bluch in the bow. Befer gan awo sinarach, befer gan skeel, nil djiv shachta, befer gan fnuhan beel manye. Yil memo wo inye, pan shriel gan anam in a dia, ta li na gali gan wanye. Nir fein le fo in a dia, ni uter le klein a kro, ni ghaur a bishach rahni. Baveblem a wo in a lean, baveblem a kut bais a bo, baveblem a kut sule, monarchamta. Yil memo wo inye, kier ta agam ghaur, ach shan shliv gan anum, shan wicked gan hiol, agus shan shkibo bonnige. The next poem is to do with initiation. So when we go through life, we're initiated into certain, well, you know, we become older, so we're initiated into different stages of society, you might say. But in the artistic world, then, whether music or poetry, there is an initiation into different stages of awareness of the possibilities of expression and the methods of expression and that sort of thing. So this can be symbolized then by different things. In this poem, it's symbolized by an axe. I'll read the poem in English first, and it's one which I sort of composed in both languages at the same time, I think. And I can't remember which is the original, but here is the poem, Axe. I bought an axe with a lark's egg. The axe will sing, the little axe will sing. And to the wood, into the wood I went, to learn the axe's tongue, to learn the tongue the axe speaks. In the wood, the yearful old wood, there were branches, brittle branches, and a fox. The axe sang there with a lark's tongue, a lark-tongued axe lark in the empty skies. With axe tongue I chopped wood, an armful to warm my pans, an armful to rouse the fox. And the ardent stars were barking in the empty skies. The little Gaelic axe was growing cold. Dew glistened on the lark's bare egg as I set the pile of kindling alight, as the first flame caught and the fox froze. And what would you burn in the wood, the yearful old wood? What would you burn if burn it you could forever? What but the shards of old on the floor of the heart, and the ardent stars were barking, the fox afoot in the rusty wood, dew glistening on the egg, when sleep met me by the fire, hoodless by the fire, with nothing more to forget, and I slept the years back, weightless as the lark's wing. I'll read some of it in Irish, I think, because it's a little bit different. It's called An Tua Beg, An Tua Beg. Cianame Tua Beg le hub na fushaige, go tuur keol shin gan tanga iarin. Chon na quille lum, chon na quille, bi leen an tua le dina ag an am. An chail shin, shan chail na mlian, bi amat kriyan am. Amad Kriyan agus Shunach. Lawr in Tua gaghor fushog a an. Fushog Tua. Fushog the dawl na spade. Wan me loan tinne lish a Tua beg. Wan me deal tete na mus. Deal melta in tinne. Agus bina reelta tafan go diakasach a dawl na spade. Bina Tua beg a fúru go gaelach. Bina drúch ar an ub lom. Nori chod me as blank in ma vartin brusna. Nori viag na chéad lasir. Nori viag. And Shamach. That's some of the text that I was there about the little axe. things that are symbols of, as I say, perhaps an initiation into states of being, or places we arrive at in our lives. And this next one is similar, and it's called flute. Flute. I will make you a flute, flute on the windy mountain. And when the limpid winter melts by the lark-eyed juniper bush, the flute will fill your cup with shadows and with wine. I will make you a flute, flute on the unfenced iron sea, where the ice moon weeps sleepless for her sailor. And when you play the flute, waves will smoke like horses on a hill. I will make you a flute, flute in the land of silk-hot sands, where the wells are blue and have no name. And when you play the flute, apples will grow there on a holy tree. I will make you a hungry flute, eye of fox, tongue of axe. And when you play the flute, unfenced, silk-hot, shadowy and sleepless, the stars will bark in an empty sky. Three postmen will come to your door, and you will know the names of wells. Yours will be the shadow on the water. Did you understand any of the Irish now, those? Did you understand any of the English? Did you understand any of the
cows?
Cows.
Well, now, I don't know what poetry is for, but sometimes we're faced with political issues, you know. So in 2004, I went to Hyde Park, and to my great surprise, there were a million other people there. And they were all shouting. And it wasn't five words, it was three.
It was two.
They were all shouting, "No war, no war." And the funny thing about it, when you get a million people shouting, you think they'd be heard. Nobody heard them, you see. And the result was a war in Iraq. No, I wasn't there, but I believe there was a war. So I came home, and I suppose I was a bit annoyed, really, at the time. I'm not annoyed at the moment. I wrote this. No, there are two poems, and one is called English, and it's quite provocative, but it's ironic. And the second poem is called Another Language, and it's quite lyrical, I hope, without being naive. English. English is the language of war. Its constituents are civilian hostages. In dim cells, adjectives are beaten senseless. English is the language of war. The dissident lexicon has been deported. Semanticide has devastated a continent of thought. English is the language of war. We cannot say what we mean anymore. We cannot say what we need to say. English has the words for all things which cast a shadow. Do not translate these words. English is the language of war. Do not speak it. Another language. We speak another language. Time has made it smooth, as the river makes the stone smooth. It is a language teeming with light, but the light pales, the words become wooden when spoken in another language, because the river will flow in one bed only. The light will teem only in droplets from a single source. We speak another language, and when we do, skylarks fly off the tongue. The sounds are purple berries, owing, solace. The words tell us things as words will, but in their meaning, there is a journey to a continent rich in harborage, and when we sing, the boats race homeward on a quick tide. Thank you. Very good timing. So the next poem is about the German language.
You asked for it.
Well, now this next poem is called Gesanglos, and that means songless. Gesanglos, songless. And I wrote this poem in 1998. I was in Germany in the 90s.
Along, where?
I was there for
local branch of the Stasi once.
I was in Freiburg, and then I was in Bonn, and I was there for 2 years. Yeah. So this poem, reading it now, I must say that Germany has, in the meantime, changed several times, and continues to do so. But this song has to do. This poem has to do with this well-recognized thesis that the National Socialists, I suppose, commandeered large parts of popular German culture and corrupted them in a way which made them unusable after the war. This is a well-known. So the songs, for example, can't really be sung. But and I've tried to give this idea, lyric expression, let's say. So Gazan goes, I've forgotten the page number again.
30.
So again, this poem is one written sort of in both languages at the same time, and I'm going to give you the translation. This is a translation, in fact. I'm going to give you the English translation. Gazan Rose. We are a songless people. Our lyric has been silenced. Father's song is unvoiced and fieldless. Mother's song mute, its cradle empty. Our songs were meat for the wolves. The words made the wolves sleek. And wolf's song rang cold through the wood, deep in our lyric winter. Walking the frozen, unsung fields, children of rhymeless years, we warmed our hands by neighboring fires and watch the flame dance, soundless. Our fathers cut a clearing in the winter wood with the bright axe, but the black wolf stole the work song. Its black breath blackened the lyric. The black wolf learned the cradle song too, and winters cradled in the deep wood. We do not sing with wolves in spring. Sensing the sap rise, we listen songless. I'll read you the Irish version now. The title is the same, but the language is slightly more literary, slightly more classical. So, this Finne gun foom shin hain, mochu an thora na rin, ni fuiver glor ar gwaith fair, ta glor ar gwaith ban gun chiawan. Dap yn fwylchw ar gwyd oral, ys rynion y ffocla blonog ar y chrad, i gyn cw wyl y wocht na cylle a tyn a sgartyn grion na heigse. Sy'n y clon y mlyon gyn rhan, hiwn mwyd y ffod ffwr gan ffwn, rynion mwyd ar nor, cwestiynion y gorsyn, hynny'n mwyd yr lathyr, y byg y gybalof. Rynion ar sy'n sy'r gyrt sy'r gai, le lyn y gyfri leis y tŵ y gael, Chwyg yn fwyl chw yn tŵr o'n sihir, chwyd yn oed dwch yn yr gach sylw. Boig yn fwyl chw cywl yn cliwain, rwg sy'n lesio ag y cliwain ffwr yn y cyllu. Ni hynny'n mwyd y cywl sy'n arach, bwyn mwyd gyn ŵr o'n yr ywysg blynt tawn ysbryd. So I'm going to get the provocative part over now before I play another a couple of tunes on the flute. Sure, I know you're all very tolerant. This little poem now is called Clug and Afri. You get it?
Yeah.
Clug and Afri. But there are some words, let me think. Now there's no translation with this, but Tach Di, that's the church. Yeah, the house of the Lord, the house of God. And Chléir, Glíhar na Chléire, so the teaching or the words of the clergy. Yeah. And so in the, actually, I was brought up, like many of us, I think, we could hear the bells ringing, you know. And when I went abroad then, there was something missing. I couldn't work out, and I was in a place where I couldn't hear the bells anymore. I had always considered myself as a good agnostic, you know, but I was missing the bells, actually. And in the poem it says, well, that this, once the bells fall silent, the land will have become a cold and empty place. So, Clug an Afri. Ni hainse go tach dé, is ni gélim go dríhar na cléide. Ach an lá mei clug an Afri in a husk, an lá mei socht ar hlár, Orson of Cullen. an lá a mé deire le gaiire na tuaiche, is oignach fuair an áit a bheits sa tír. The next poem is about, I'd like to read you some poems about, there are two I think, it's about both my grandfathers, and one is Frank Johnson, who was from the north, and moved south then to work in the customs, and I'd like to read this poem, which is called, "We'll Kick the Pope Right Over Dolly's Brain." Granda lost his sight, a cat bite, a ruptured vein. The man wouldn't see a doctor. "I'm all right," he'd say. And then the hand swelled painfully, dimness set in, one eye first, soon the other. A man of books, affable, keen, he withdraw at time, but had come around and was now perfectly fond of his headphones. I brought him a John McCormack tape, and he spent the morning in another world, while we took the Lahey Road to Pettigo, followed the River Termon, and wheeled back through Billeek by lunch. And when we came in, he said, "When I was a bairn, no age at all, my father had a box of records, and a fella borrowed them, and put different ones back in their place, and we put one on. It went, 'We'll kick the Pope right over Dolly's Bray. We'll kick the Pope right over Dolly's Bray.' And my mother came in, whipped off the record, and threw it in the fire." My grandmother sat listening, 60 years married. She'd never heard the story, and we laughed. A set of headphones, John McCormack, and there were the early 20s, vivid in the mind's eye. With another flute now. It's you'll see why. This is a nice instrument. It's in the key of C. It's quite mellow, you know. So I play a couple of tunes.
Thank you.
I'd like to read you some poems which have to do with Wales, which is where my mother and her family are from. I was born in Wales and I moved to Galway when I was 3. But I moved back there in the year 2000, which is 12 years ago now, and I'm working at different things. And reading about Wales in Cork is an interesting thing to do. It's the first time I've really travelled around Cork. I arrived on Friday, and I think Cork and the county are more similar to places in South Wales than it is to Connemara and Galway, where I grew up. And the comparison I make when I explain Wales to Irish people is I say, Wales is like Munster. Not like Ireland, it's like Munster. And then things fall into place. You have two cities, you have Limerick and Cork, you have Cardiff and Swansea. You have rugby teams. You have a very strong sense of identity as well in both areas. But our family comes from a rural part of the country and were and still are farmers. And so this theme, in a way, continues the rural element of my own work. And it's called Farmer Retires. Now, let me think. I think the vocabulary in this isn't particularly Celtic, I put it that way. No, they're all English words. Some place names from Wales. Farmer retires. He was tall in his day, my uncle, a man of stone and clay, who knew each cum from Bethania to Tregaron. A small farmer now and stooping, his half acre beyond the new bungalow were mine to discover, child that I was, and he'd talk me through goats and geese, his Welsh broad as a spade. Once a man of rolling fields, a foot before milk churns rang the dawn hour, he was at sea in small places, fingering his cap, boots still warm on the doorstep as the parlour clock clicked, and tea and conversation cooled. Land to be tended, fences mended, bales fetched, and fair and mart would come around where a man could meet and mix. Years later, deep in Ceredigion, he took me to the mansion his brother had squatted in after the Blitz. Other changes were staggered. Moved to town, Mr. Morgan. Doctor spoke English. Your heart can't take all this work, you know. So town was moved to Aberystwyth, where shopkeepers serve tired souls and Bronglais Hospital sits and waits. Paved, fenced, no tumbling sky, no lowing of cow in calf, rattle of barrow up the plank, feel of warm earth or buzzard's cry. Cut off, stranded, he ended it. I'm not sure how. Pills, I think. The heart couldn't take it. Mm. Well, I'd like to read another one of those. It's after my grandmother's funeral, where I don't know if you know the old rugby matches now, especially the old ones, but even nowadays, the Welsh tend to sing hymns, you see. It's a very, very uplifting experience, and you get thousands of people singing in full voice. And so the this poem then is as you'll see, it's a reflection on, in part, on the on some of the different, the cultural differences implicit in Catholicism and Welsh Methodism. It's called My People. Now there are some words here you might not be familiar with, and some names. Well, there are Welsh bards. There's Taliesin, who was a Welsh bard in the 6th century. there's a name, Pantakellin. Well, now, this is, Pantakellin wrote hymns which are sort of part of the national canon of Welsh, really. There's a place called Llangeitho, and Daniel Rowlands was a preacher. All these references are standard references in Welsh culture. So I read the poem anyway. My people sang in humble chapels after the dawn trek from Llan and Aber, breasts swelling, lyrics pounding in a language that since Taliesin had not been silent, an idiom that Pantakellin set alight. Shed door bolted, churned milk cooling on slabs of slate, they sang with joy, a people in voice, in rounded metaphor and rolling vernacular, at Llangeitho, where Rowlands preached, and shepherds breathed bardic metre, and they sailed on a flood of faith down the Jordan, where yew trees grow, their song carrying souls to promised lands, as bespectacled the straining village organist pulled out the stops. I have lost that voice, raised on plaintive chants to a child virgin, and I sing without conviction, rummage in the drawers of borrowed doctrines, build my pyramid of knowledge, feel the steel of the intellect, only to sense the ghost in me test the temperless chords, chill my lungs, touch something numb. Well, I'm going to read you a poem in Welsh now. I don't write much poetry in Welsh. I write quite a lot of prose. have you ever seen...
you have, of course.
What is it in English? A flock of starlings at sunset. Have you ever seen a flock of starlings at sunset? Hundreds and thousands of them, and they...
Murmuration.
Yes.
What's that?
Murmuration.
And they do this, and they dance in the sky, all together, and twist and turn. And so this poem is... it's an attempt to capture the movement of a flock of starlings, then, in sound. And these sounds happen to be Welsh. Okay, but it's the movement in the poem. So in poetry, semantics is not almost primary. So here we have rhythm and sound. And I try to read it. So drui is the Welsh word for a starling. Druid in Irish, but that's thrush in English. Etymologically, thrush is a slightly different word, but not that different. Doid nos dawr drui. In hide the a dow ac yn rhyferthwy y laner nen yn gwmwl brith yr wybren wargoch uwchben aber dwy afon y cael chweld gwas ddigri a'i deulu dirfawr ddiwedd dydd yn ddiflu'n dorf ar y denydd y dydd yn ddiadell diloferydd ac yn ddeiliad y dalgylch fri yn ddewin llawn i reidi y dawr drydwi i'n dyfyrru a'i farr gyfeiriw dirbydd yn don y daw i draeth di ffin daw yn ddystaw o ddifri yn ddoethu'r bach dramodydd a dri ddengwaith dde ac aswy yn ddalledwr di dyledu dan ddyfal ymwahanu y dawr awyrlu hwn yn ddefod y ddibynadwy ednod di ri y dyn hwy dod oll i'r pyr pan nosaeth i a deflannu o dan do o ddir nid i ddydwy y dod yno nac i feddwy yn ferw i gyd ond i roi i pen yn ei plu dan ddymuno dar ysgu brannoedd di huno dydd a di symwth ail ddyrchafu dychwelant ar derfyn dydd i ymroelli uwch ben aml i ymbarel ger y llu.
I'll tell you, little tiny bit of Welsh music, so.